STEM education has become the buzzword in recent years, and for good reason. In May 2014, there were more than 8 million jobs in STEM-related fields in this country. By 2020, there will be 1.4 million jobs available for computer scientists alone. But based on how many people are studying STEM subjects now, only 400,000 people will be trained to fill those roles by 2020. To improve our international competitiveness, the government has made STEM education a priority. A few weeks ago, the White House held a workshop for 27 cities across the U.S., and Kansas City earned the privilege of being selected to participate. With us today are three of the representatives to attend the White House workshop. They are Leanne Smith. She's Executive Director of Science Pioneers. That's a not-for-profit educational that encourages Kansas City students to use science in their everyday lives. Leanne, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you so much, Steve. Happy to be here.
Martha McCabe is also with us. She's Manager of STEM Initiatives at the KC STEM Alliance. Martha, good morning to you.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for allowing me to be here.
And back with us one more time is Dr. Cynthia Lane. She's superintendent of Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. And Dr. Lane, always good to have you too.
Good morning.
Well, Cynthia, let's start with you. Were you actually at the White House for this thing?
We were actually at the White House.
How was that?
Phenomenal.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see it?
Not really. We saw the Eisenhower wing, and we sat in this beautiful room and anticipated that the president might walk in, but didn't happen. But it still was a tremendous experience.
Martha, first time to the White House for you?
It was. I had the pleasure of being there for the Easter egg roll, but not inside the building. So great to be there, and great to be there with not only the leadership of the White House as it relates to STEM, but also the other communities.
And Leanne, you guys didn't see the president either. No one saw the president.
No, we did get a picture in front of a picture of the president. So that's about as good as we did.
Does that count?
It was close enough for me.
Yeah. So what did each of you find most helpful, Leanne, most inspirational from this big White House workshop?
I think the number of communities that have embraced STEM learning is amazing, and they've got a lot of programs that are very replicable, and that's what we're going to be looking at here in growing our ecosystem. We have a lot of wonderful opportunities for students across the state line, but we don't always talk about them as well together, and there could be a few silos, and so we'd like to break down some of those silos and bring together the entire ecosystem so that we can provide seamless services to our students across our community.
Yeah. Martha, before we get too far down the road here, why was Kansas City chosen to be part of this White House workshop to begin with?
Sure. Back this summer, there was an opportunity for communities across the country to be identified as STEM learning ecosystems. And
STEM learning ecosystems, that's an interesting terminology.
It is.
Like there are plants and animals and stuff, right?
Yeah. I think what it does is it allows us to look at when and where a child is learning throughout their 24-hour day. And so we know that they spend a large portion of their time in organized school setting, but then also how are they connecting to STEM learning in the after-school space or in the out-of-school time, on the weekends, summer camps. And so it was an opportunity for Kansas City to really showcase the wonderful work that it's doing and then be able to learn from the other community partners as well as the technical assistance lead who is assigned to our community. So it was very easy to put together our application. There were 150 communities invited to apply. 50 actually completed applications, and then 27 were chosen to be in the first year of the cohort. This is a three-year initiative, and hopefully by the end of the 3 years, there will be 100 communities from across the country being able to join on this initiative.
And so you're engaged for 3 years here, it sounds like.
We are, absolutely.
It's a three-year commitment.
Yes.
Yeah. Cynthia Lane, how was this whole thing organized? Who ran it? Who talked to you? That kind of thing.
It was organized by funders, and Martha can speak more eloquently to that, but they brought together these 27 communities from across the nation, literally from coast to coast, to share what's happening. And the Funders Network provided all the resources and the learning for us to learn, first of all, what's a community of practice and how do you work together as a community? And then across the nation, how do we work together to leverage these experiences to improve things for our kids?
And to what extent do you see more coordination with everybody else going forward here?
I think that'll be essential. Just the brief time we were there, I took away so many key learnings that we can apply immediately in the Kansas City, Kansas Public School District. I think this has an opportunity to truly be transformative, to take this language called STEM and make it real for kids. And as I sat and listened, I thought about Casey Rising's initiative to focus on engineering, architecture, construction, technology, and logistics kinds of careers that are in high demand right here in the metro area. And all of this aligns so well.
You know, Leanne, when we talk about STEM, just how important are these careers and what kinds of careers are we talking about here?
We're really talking about careers across the spectrum. So many people think when you talk about STEM, you're talking just about science and you're talking about advanced degrees. That's not the case at all. STEM includes trades. What used to be called blue-collar jobs are now gold-collar jobs because people are not moving into them. You can, with a high school diploma, with a GED, with certifications, there are a lot of jobs you can get that pay well and are very, very good jobs.
So people need to rethink about what STEM means based on what you're saying here.
Exactly. And that's one reason it's so important to work with the schools, because students do have 24 hours in which they can gain STEM opportunities, but formal and informal educational providers need to have as much of an understanding about the career opportunities for students as do those of us in the field.
And based on my introduction here, the career opportunities are through the roof. Do I have that right?
They absolutely are. Think of all of the STEM-like corporations that are headquartered here in Kansas City alone, not to mention the fact that so many jobs today have pieces of STEM knowledge. If nothing else, you've got to know a lot about computers. You've got to know a lot about how to apply those in your job, even if you work in an office.
You know, Martha, again, based on my introduction here, this idea there's going to be more jobs and people to fill them in the years to come. What does that mean going forward? What kind of challenge does that pose?
Well, I think it's opening up for students and for parents as well. We need to be educating our parents so that they understand how to influence and educate their child to take a look at all of the opportunities. I think the other challenge is to identify that some of these skills that are needed are math related. And so looking at when and how math is taught early on. And I had the opportunity, along with Leanne, to be at the Missouri STEM Summit in St. Louis a few weeks ago.
Right.
And Parents as Teachers was actually there. And that's a birth to three-year-old program in the home. And they have STEM activities for toddlers to be doing.
No kidding.
Absolutely. And so I just think it's really exciting for students to see all of the opportunities available to them, not only to become a STEM professional, but to work in STEM industry. And so as Leanne mentioned, you know, Kansas City is home to so many wonderful STEM industry professionals and industry organizations. But even if you take somebody with a marketing skill set or a finance skill set, if they choose to work in one of the STEM industries, their salaries are higher than if they choose not to work in a STEM industry. So we want to show students all of the breadth of opportunities available to them and find something that engages and excites them to continue their studies beyond high school.
Cynthia, talk to us about kids out there or parents out there who might have children who aren't crazy about math, aren't crazy about science, and you're looking at a guy who's got two kids who would fall into that category. Mm-hmm. What are the opportunities there for kids like that? Are there?
Oh, absolutely, they are. And the thing that we have to help all of us get past is the block that sometimes we have when it comes to mathematics in isolation. But what this kind of initiative does is allow us to actually apply math in real-world situations where kids have opportunities to work in teams.
Yeah.
So imagine your kids working in teams, creating things, building things, and seeing how these isolated, sometimes very abstract concepts actually play out in the real world.
I was going to say, how satisfying are these jobs? Because when a lot of people think of STEM jobs, people think about writing computer code all day long, and that doesn't sound that appealing to me.
It is to a lot of people, but you're right. There's a lot of people for whom it is not appealing. And one of the things I love about these types of jobs is so often it's solving problems. You have an opportunity to answer a question, to make something better for people, and so you're solving problems. And as Cynthia just said, these are real-world, everyday problems, and we have businesses across our community that are working to solve them today, whether it's building bridges, whether it's writing computer code, whether it's designing telephone systems. All of those things are really important, and it's interesting, you know, girls go into healthcare more often because they want to help people. Well, engineers help people. Where would we be without roads, without buildings, without bridges? There's a lot of fields that are helping fields. We just have to reframe them a little bit.
Let me get our listeners involved here as we talk about STEM education and this recent White House workshop that dealt with all this. We have three folks here who are at the White House to take part in this workshop. If you have questions for us, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. So, Cynthia, what are the best ways you're finding in Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools to get kids interested in STEM? What are you doing to sort of encourage them and bring them forward here a little bit?
Well, you know, we have an initiative called Diploma Plus, where we expect our high school kids to graduate not only with their diploma, but 1 year of college completed or their technical credential. And so the entire system is pointed towards opportunities for industry and business to come in early as elementary school, but strategically at middle school, to help students understand the possibilities that are out there. So our kids are going out to visit industries, to see what it means to be an engineer, to see what it means to be in high-tech manufacturing jobs, all of those kinds of things. We're painting pictures of the dreams that they have and the possibilities. So surrounding our kids with these opportunities is what we're
doing. This has got to snap them to attention, though, when you tell them there's this, everyone thinks there's no jobs out there for anybody these days. You can say there are lots of jobs out there in this field, more jobs than we can possibly fill.
We can't fill the jobs right in our own region. I mean, think about the welding jobs. There's such a high demand for welders and people that want to work with their hands and electricians, and all the fields are incredible. And the life sciences, they're knocking on our doors to say, help us prepare young people to be interested in these fields. And so this ecosystem brings all of the STEM providers together with school systems to be able to help us truly prepare kids to contribute immediately upon graduation from high school, because they'll have credentials to our economy.
And a well-paying job, too.
Well-paying. High-demand, well-paying jobs. It's an exciting time for the young people.
You know, Martha, one thing we've talked about on this show in the past is this whole idea of the challenge of getting kids of color to be interested in fields like this. What did you pick up at the White House about that challenge and what you do to encourage those children, those students, to get engaged here?
Sure. We had a couple wonderful presentations that morning at the White House about encouraging diversity and showcasing opportunities to students who come from diverse backgrounds. And we know that solutions to problems are more robust the more diverse the team is. And so it makes sense for all of our partners to be thinking about how do we encourage and recruit a diverse workforce. And so one of the things that we really heard very poignantly from Kalila Harris was to take a look at where all the programs are happening and making sure that every child in every community has access to those programs. And so that's one of the things that we're going to be doing with the STEM Assets Survey, is to identify where do we have gaps in program services and who are the program providers that can help fill those gaps, so that students don't have to get in a car and travel all the way across our metro to find access to a really good computer science program, or to be able to have a mentor. And so we're wanting to take a look at programs that we know are very strong and making sure that all students have access to those.
You know, Cynthia, in KCK Public Schools, how big of a challenge is what I just outlined here? Is it the challenge I've been told that it is, or is it changing?
Well, we are an international community.
Yes, 46%
of our kids are Hispanic in origin and 38% African American. And kids come from all over the world, 70 different languages spoken. So I have the diverse workforce. What we have to do is connect with partners. So as Martha said, not just some of our kids have access to these programs that prepare them, but each and every one of the students.
Is the interest level there?
Absolutely.
That's not an issue for you.
Interested and thriving and really meet our expectations and exceed them every time we give them an opportunity to be engaged in rigorous experiences. And that's what this is all about.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to some calls. And Dale from Kansas City. Dale, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. And good morning to everybody. The reason I called as succinctly is that I'm a retired teacher. And in the last several years of when I was teaching, I just thought there was a huge emphasis on college and the associated debts with it normally. And I thought that it was really a failure on our part to encourage students also to look at the trades, some of them which really make a good livelihood for the individual and their future families. And I just think that the school districts have been a kind of a failure in this area. That's my comment.
Yeah, Cynthia Lane, hop in here. What's been your experience?
there are a lot of pathways to high-pay, high-demand jobs, and not all of them go through college. So I think that the caller is absolutely right that we need to elevate the technical careers that are out there and the pathways to getting those credentials. But I would say that it is our job as educators to prepare our students well so they can make an informed choice. If college is the right pathway for their vision, then great, they're prepared. But if they don't need college, but they need technical college, they need credentialing, they're also prepared for that. And that's what we're trying to do.
You know, Cynthia, when it comes to the basic math and science courses that are involved in a STEM education, are students currently being separated in the classroom based on their ability, or what are you seeing?
We don't see separation based on ability, but we see gaps in opportunity. So a few years ago, we required algebra at eighth grade for all of our students, all of them, because we know that's a gatekeeper to no matter what your career pathway is. But one of the key statistics that stood out for me from Washington is that across the nation, only 50% of our students have access to calculus. And that's access. Less than 50% of the kids across the nation are actually taking calculus. And we need to look at that because those higher math skills are truly essential for these high demand jobs that we're looking at.
And what's happening in KCK when it comes to calculus?
Well, we reflect the nation's statistics. We offer it to a few of our kids, but even fewer actually take that. So that's one of the areas that we're trying to make sure that in the lower grades, students are prepared so they have access to those high level math skills.
And the challenge here is what? Finding teachers?
Finding teachers, ensuring our curriculum is aligned, making sure we can get the young people over those humps. As you spoke earlier, your own kids have these thoughts in their minds that they can't be successful in those kinds of courses. So it's really reshaping how we talk to our youth about these higher level math courses.
Well,
but in Kansas, finding teachers, period, is becoming a significant challenge.
Well, there is a prohibitive aura around some of these courses, science and upper level math classes. Does that need to change, Leanne?
I believe it does. I think it's really interesting. You know, our community is so focused on entrepreneurship, and we have so many successful entrepreneurial organizations, and they're almost praised for failing. I mean, it's okay to fail when you start
a business.
We've
talked about that very concept right here.
Because of the things you learn. Do we allow students that privilege, that access to failure? And do we say, okay, so what'd you learn out of this and where can you take this? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest problems because students, I myself started doing poorly in math in third and fourth grade, hated it ever since. So many parents reinforce those messages. And so we have a 19th or 20th century education model and a model that failure is not acceptable. You get an F on your paper or even a D. And for most girls, oh my gosh, if you get a C,
right,
that's just a terrible thing. So we need to flip that and say, okay, it's okay to fail. Let's see where you need the help, and let's transform that learning into something that is positive and is real-world based so that you can see the application of what you're learning. It's not just paper and pencil and chalkboard or whiteboard. It's real-world learning.
I was going to say real-world learning. That's the whole component that's missing, at least it was in my experience,
right,
which goes back a number of years. But you're seeing it today, too.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I believe that the ecosystem being involved as a community of practice in Kansas City with communities around the country. I think those are the kinds of large transformations that can actually take place in our country. I'm excited because I think we have the opportunity to transform education as we know it today.
Hey, are those classes, the upper level science and math classes, are they too difficult, Leanne? Do they need to be easier for kids to get through?
I don't think so. They are very difficult. And that's another point that we've made and heard made over and over and over again is this is hard stuff. There's nothing easy about calculus. But our children need to understand that that's the learning that they need to have a handle on in order to get these jobs. And it's not easy, but you know what? You can learn it. It's like anything else. It just takes practice and it takes a little bit of time. You get a good teacher, you get a good mentor, and you take the time and you do the learning. And even if you fail once or twice, you get back up on that horse and you ride it again.
You know, I'm wondering, Martha, as we sit here now and you're back from this conference, what do the three of you bring back to Kansas City that you want to continue to work on here as a direct result of having attended this conference and not actually seeing the president but coming close maybe?
Yeah. Well, I think it's continuing to build on the excitement. You know, there was such excitement around the notification of Kansas City and its ecosystem. And so we're really looking forward to some next steps in identifying a larger leadership team and then a really big celebration towards the end of January to invite all of the partners to the table to be able to work with the Kansas City, Kansas School District, with the Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. And then as we...
And partners, you're talking about who exactly?
Well, there were 26 partners on the application, and
on the application for the local schools here, for the
STEM ecosystem, and the partners ranged from our traditional long-term supporters of STEM, so Black & Veatch, Burns & McDonnell, but then also new partners, the American Royal, the Kansas City Zoo.
Oh, really?
And so everybody really has a creative way in which to showcase STEM and STEM education and ways to excite and enthuse students about continuing their education. And so I really hope that what we gain from our trip to the White House is the opportunity to continue the excitement and to knit together, as Leanne mentioned earlier, that some of the different partners who have been siloed, pulling our post-secondary partners together. Mm-hmm. And we have some great traction already in Kansas City, but to continue to grow that so that we have whatever we can put in place for Kansas City, Kansas school districts and Kansas City, Missouri public schools can be utilized by all of our school districts here in the metro region.
Well, companies like Black & Veatch and Burns & Mac, they're feeling the heat here, right? Because they really need to be see folks coming along in the pipeline to fill the jobs they have in their own companies.
Sure, absolutely. And they have not only been long-term financial partners to the Kansas City STEM Alliance, but they have been providing wonderful service to our students. Things that were traditionally held just for college students are now being offered down to high school students. And so summer camps and summer internships, job shadow experiences. Black & Veatch has partnered with the Kansas City, Kansas School District and Sporting KC on a Grow STEM initiative that's really exciting and geared towards middle school students. Huh. Burns & McDonnell has been, they're on year two now of large-scale parent and student education events. And so I just think it's wonderful to see partners who are willing to kind of think outside of the box on how do we recruit students and getting them to think about careers that they might not have either A, thought they could manage academically, or B, could really see themselves in.
Cynthia, what else did you bring back from this White House conference? And I'm wondering, to what extent are you working in KCK to connect real-world jobs with the educations that your students are getting?
We are underway with full-blown initiative re-looking at our career academies to make sure that they are aligned to the high-pay, high-demand jobs that are available in each of our high schools. And so the vision is that when students step into the high school, they will select an engineering and architecture, life sciences kind of experience and be fully exposed to the vast careers that are available in those arenas. So I brought back excitement that what we've been thinking about kind of in isolation and KCK is really on the cutting edge of the kinds of things that schools across the nation are trying to do to truly transform our education system from what it was when you and I went to school to something that aligns kids to being on their way to careers that are highly successful. When you and I graduated, we shook the hands of our administrators and they said good luck to you, and we went out to try to figure out what is it that we want to do with ourselves.
Right.
Our kids now need to be prepared to know what are their talents, what are they good at doing, what are they passionate about, and we need to frame education around those things so they have an opportunity to step away from high school and immediately contribute.
Leanne, what was your big takeaway here as you look down the road, and what are the next steps?
We had an opportunity to learn from several communities that have been deep into their ecosystem for a number of years. And I think my biggest level of excitement is hearing the phrase from cradle to career. So we want to take all the children in Kansas City, ultimately. Right now we'll be focused on Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri, but effectively take the children in Kansas City and their families and provide STEM learning opportunities for them from cradle to career so that they understand the breadth and the depth of what's out there and how much fun and how satisfying it can be.
So things are changing.
Absolutely, they're changing.
All right, back to some phone calls, 816-235-2888. Just a couple minutes left in this segment here. Florence from Kansas City, Kansas, good morning. Are you there, Florence?
Yes, I am. I'm nervous.
Yes, go ahead, Florence.
How does the STEM initiative group, with all of the strife that's going on in the world today, did they include in this on this meeting, this program, to how to start teaching our youth how to address the global, geographic, social coexistence for planet Earth.
Cynthia Lane, what about the whole this other shoe that Florence is talking about, some of the strife in the world and addressing those kinds of issues,
you
too?
Know, Florence describes the container, if you will, in which our children and in which we live. And so we always have to be thinking about global competitiveness, global social responsibility, and all of that has to be built into the kinds of things that we expose our young people to. So when they step into their careers, they're prepared to handle those challenges.
Yeah. How are you getting parents involved here, Cynthia, with the STEM education going forward?
You know, one parent at a time, providing opportunities for them to learn, to understand what is STEM, what do we mean technical careers, is it the same as what it was when we said vocational? Just it's a lot of education and engaging our families to see what the possibilities are, and then helping them understand how to support their young people and creating those pathways to those careers. So we have parents involved through PTAs, through school site councils, those kinds of things, but that is an area of challenge that we need to continue to focus on to make sure that we're not missing someone.
You guys sound fired up. This is a whole new day here, right? Do I have that right?
Absolutely.
That's great. Well, listen, thanks for coming in. Good conversation today. Appreciate it very much. Leanne Smith, Executive Director of Science Pioneers. Martha McCabe, Manager of STEM Initiatives at the KC STEM Alliance. Dr. Cynthia Lane, Superintendent of Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.